You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Now, this is the final week of our series, chapter 2, What's Next? It's our post-confirmation series, right? We say over and over that confirmation is not graduation, but when we're talking about faith, we can really say that for all of those milestones in our lives. We had a baptism yesterday. Baptism is not the end of God working in our lives. Confirmation's not the end. Graduation from high school or college is not the end. Marriage is not the end. God continues to work faith in our lives each and every day until He calls us to be with Him. And we've been talking about these patterns that we want to get into so that God can continue to work in us to hear God's Word, to reflect on God's Word, and then to put God's Word into practice. And the first week of this series, we heard God's Word from Hebrews, and we saw how important it is to not give up meeting together. Basically, how important it is to continue to be here in worship each and every week. And last week, we heard from God's Word from Genesis and 2 Timothy and saw how important it is not just to gather together and worship every week, but to be surrounded and encouraged by godly men and women and to surround ourselves and to also encourage those others in our lives to live out that faith, not just that one day a week, but each day of the week. And today, we get to hear from Romans. But as we do that, I want to clarify something about growing in how we live out our faith. Because I've talked about baby steps, right? The little steps that you take as you grow in your faith. And then when you look backwards, you see how far God has taken you. And we've talked about gathering in worship, and we've talked about surrounding ourselves with godly men and women. And in those discussions, I've been working under the understanding, and I've alluded to this fact, but I want to just be very blunt about it today. None of this is possible, that this growth in our faith, not even coming to faith, none of this is possible without the Holy Spirit. And to even go a step further, the Holy Spirit does it. It's not like he gets us on the ladder and then we got to work our way up or he kind of nudges us so that we make the decision or whatever. No, none of this is possible without the Spirit, and He does it for us. And so when we gather in worship, when we surround ourselves with godly men and women, when we hear God's Word and reflect on it and put it into practice, when we fall on our knees in prayer, we are positioning ourselves in what author Greg Ogden calls the Holy Spirit hothouse. We're positioning ourselves in a place where the Holy Spirit can work in our lives. And whenever I hear God's Word and reflect on it and put it into practice, I like to ask the question, well, what does that look like? Well, what does that look like in my everyday life? But before I ask that question, I want to take us to our text from Romans 6. And I want to look at the last verse of that, and I already mentioned this, but verse 14, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." And like I said, I really want to focus on that last phrase, "since you are not under law, but under grace." And seeing that and thinking through that, if we were to ask the question, what does that look like? I don't want to ask that today because that might take us down the wrong path. And I'll get to that, what I mean about that in a minute. But just as a sidebar, just to put all the cards on the table, I didn't write my sermon this week until yesterday morning. Now, usually I'm a little more ahead of the game than that, but God had perfect timing again this week like He does each and every week. I was supposed to meet with my counselor on Tuesday, but his wife texted me that morning and said, "Hey, he's not feeling well. Can we push it back?" And so we pushed it back to Friday. And there are some things that came up in my life on Thursday afternoon and on Friday morning that shaped our conversation together, and ultimately that's going to shape our conversation here together today. And one of those things that stuck with me was Romans 6:14. It was in direct connection with it. Well, actually, the way that I live my life and in our conversation, I realized it was actually in direct opposition with Romans 6. Because all my life, I've been one of those people who follows the rules. I've done that because that's what it's expected of me. That's what someone should do. I should toe the line. You know, I've heard that I represent Jesus, so if I mess up, I'm going to dishonor Jesus or my church or my family. And so my entire life, I was a good kid because I was supposed to be, because I had to be. Now, if I were asked the question, would your parents still love you if you messed up really big? I could answer that, yes. If I were asked the question, would Jesus still love you if you messed up really big? I could answer that with a yes. But I didn't want to risk it. So for most of my life, I was a good kid. I was a good young adult out of fear. So to be honest, if you were to ask the question, what does this look like? What does it look like to live out your faith? It would have looked like my life. Right? I lived the picture of what being a good Christian kid looked like. But I was living it out under the law. And as we see here in Romans 6:14, and it's all throughout Romans, it was actually Romans that helped Luther figure out that it's grace that we're saved. And we see it all throughout Romans, we see it all throughout the epistles, but it was really Romans that shaped who Luther was. But we see here that we're not under the law, but under grace. As you have been redeemed, as you have been washed by the waters of baptism, as the Holy Spirit has given you faith through the hearing of His Word, you have been made new. And so you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. And that's what my counselor helped me unpack on Friday. And one of the things that he said is, even subjectively, even as you just look at it and how you experience it, doing things because of the law is much less fulfilling than doing things because of the gospel. There have been times where I have lived out the law, where I have loved people and I have served people so that good things would happen to me, so that they would love me and so that they would serve me back, so that I would please Jesus and make Jesus love me more, so that I wouldn't dishonor anyone. There have also been times, and I'm sure this is the case, both of these are the case for you, that you've loved and served someone because Jesus has loved and served you, and His love and His service that He poured out on you overflowed out of you into your neighbor. And so what I'm focusing on this week, and honestly it'll be this month and this year and probably this decade, what I'm focusing on is positioning myself so that the Holy Spirit can work in me to change my mindset. Because those times that I've loved and served my neighbors, all of those times could have looked exactly the same. But some of those times were spurred by the law, and other times were spurred on by the gospel. And so as I focus on positioning myself in a place where the Holy Spirit can work in me and change my mindset, I really want to focus on changing my so that to a because. Instead of doing things so that Jesus will love me more, so that I won't dishonor my family or my church, or so that people will love me and serve me in return. Instead of doing things so that, I want to position myself where the Holy Spirit can work in me to change my mindset to doing things because of who Jesus is, and because of what He has done in my life, and because of who He has said that I am, a redeemed child of God. So this week, as you hear God's word, as you reflect on it, and as you put it into practice, may that not be done because of the law. May it not be done because Pastor Gerber said, hey, I need to do this. May it not be done because the law tells us, hey, I need to do this. May it not be done so that good things will come to you, so that Jesus will love you more. But may that be done. May you hear God's word, reflect on it, and put it into practice because. Because the Spirit has worked in you and given you faith and made you a new creation, because you are not under law, but under grace, because of who Jesus says that he is, because he has loved you with a love that cannot change, and because of who Jesus says that you are, a redeemed child of God.